and turn with me to John 3:16. Hallelujah. We're starting a new series this morning called Love Unrivaled, and today's message is Finding True Love, Finding True Love. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody is seeking love, whether through romantic connections, through family, through friendships. There's an innate need inside of the human heart to be loved, to matter to someone, to be important to someone, for someone to care about us, for someone to really know us and be there for us. It is the deepest need, the strongest motivator, and the greatest desire of the human soul. TV, movies, and music often present a distorted view of love. Our culture generally equates love with sexual activity. It is strong, it is passionate at the moment, and then it can be cold and painful afterward. People talk about falling in love and falling out of love as easily as turning on and off a faucet from hot to cold. Love has come to mean little more than a warm, fuzzy emotional feeling. The love of this world has left many lonely, empty, broken, hurting, and longing even more deeply to find true love. A craving which often leads them to look for love in the wrong places. And Satan is only too happy to meet them in their quest as they fall into another trap of his destruction. The reason is that people just don't know or understand what true love is or where it comes from. So how can they give it? They have never experienced true love and are willing to settle for the cheap imitations offered by this world that leaves them emptier and emptier than before. As each relationship they enter into and then it breaks up just takes a part of their soul from them. It leaves many wondering, does true love even exist? And if so, how do you find it? The indisputable answer is yes, true love does exist, and it's found in none other than God himself. The scripture says, God is love. He is the originator and he is the source of all true love. Yes. And the Bible is his love story with us from beginning to end. This verse that we're looking at today is the one verse that captures the essence of his love story in a single sentence. It is likely the most familiar verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This verse is so simple that a small child can understand it. Yet it holds some of the deepest spiritual truths, so that even the greatest theologians throughout time have only scratched its surface. The subject of God's love is an overwhelming topic to address in a single message or even in a series of messages, because the Bible has so much to say about the love of God. But John 3:16 capsulizes the entire message of God's love contained in the Bible in this one verse. This single verse lays the foundation for humankind's relationship with God. God does not relate with us based on judgment or condemnation, though because he is holy, at times he must judge. But he relates to us based on a foundation of pure love. In this verse, Jesus tells us and the whole world that God loves us so much that he is willing to do anything to have a relationship with us, even if it costs him his own life. Today, I want us to take the time to really hear God speaking to each and every one of us, telling us of his love for us in the words of this verse. And let it not just speak to your head as more information about God, but let it speak to your heart. Some of us know in our head that God loves us, but in our heart, we still feel unworthy. We still feel unable to measure up. We still feel undeserving, or we feel as if God couldn't care for us. I pray that you will experience the fullness of His love this morning. And the first thing I want us to see from this verse is the greatest lover, for God so loved the world. You know, God created us to love us. He created us so that He could love us. And to know true love, you have to start with God. He is the creator. He is the originator. He is the source of all things. There would be no world. There would be no us if God had not created us. And why? Why did God create us? David asked the same question in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, when he said, "When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, and human beings that you do care for them?" God, when you are so awesome, when you are so great, when you have created this incredible universe, we're just a speck of dust. I can't imagine why it is that you would love us the way that you do. That's what David is saying. But folks, he created us for relationship with himself. God didn't create the world out of any lack or need in himself. He created the world out of his fullness, out of his abundance, because he is true love. True love desires to share itself. True love desires to give. So God's love moved him to create us so that he could love us. And in Jeremiah 31:3, God said, "Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love." You know what that means? His love for us is not dependent on anything in us. An everlasting love. He loved us before we even were. His love is not dependent on anything in us, but completely on the fact that He is love. He loved us before we ever took a breath, before we ever saw the light of day. There was never a time that He didn't love us. That's what He means when He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." We're not here by accident. We are the product of God's love, and His love moved Him to create us. True love, by its very nature, seeks to share itself, to give itself to others, to be a blessing to others. God is love. And He made us so that we can enjoy the fullness of who He is and all that He does. I want you to get it in your spirit today that God created you to love you.
Amen, amen.
Of course, He desires that we love Him in return.
That's right.
And that's why He has given us a free will, the ability to choose to love Him. Because we can accept and receive His love, or we can reject it. That's what makes it love. When we sin, we reject His love. And we are saying to Him, "I don't believe that you want what's best for me." And we selfishly choose our own way, thinking we know better. And that is sin. It is what Adam and Eve chose in the garden. And it is what each one of us has chosen at some point in our life. And the result of that is that our relationship with God was broken by sin. But before God created us, He knew that we would sin. He knew that we would fail. He knew that we would break His heart. But He still chose to create us anyway because He loves us. And that's why the scripture says that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God knew before He ever created us what the cost of loving us would be. And He still created us. He knew that we would sin. And before He ever created us, He devised a means through the sacrifice of His Son that we could be forgiven of our sins and we could be restored to relationship with Him. God loves us so much that He was willing to go to any measure in order to have a relationship with us.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm reminded of the story of a young boy who carved a little boat out of driftwood. Day in, day out, he worked carefully and lovingly to shape and to make this little boat. When it was finished, he took it out to the sea for a sail, and he watched it lovingly as he admired its beauty being moved back and forth by the wind and by the waves. But the wind and the waves carried it further and further away, till soon it was out of his reach, and finally it completely disappeared from his sight. He was very sad that his little boat was gone and he would never see it again. And his little boat was always on his mind. And every day he would go to the seashore and he would look out and he would wonder if this would be the day that he would find his little boat washed up on the sand and he could take it home again. Months later, while he was walking down the street of his town, to his delight, he saw his little boat in the window of a shop. Excitedly, he rushed to his father and he got the money to be able to purchase it. When he held it in his arms at last, he told the storekeeper, "Now it is mine twice. Once because I made it, and again because I've bought it back for a price." Folks, that's what God did for us. We are twice God's. First, because he made us. He lovingly shaped us and formed us. But then we were lost by sin. And now he loves us so much that he paid the price in order to purchase us back unto himself again. So we are twice his. Hallelujah. That's what Paul meant when he said, "You are not your own. You have been bought with a price." Hallelujah. How great is his love for us. How great is his love for us. And God not only created us to love us, but God's character is love. That's why he is the greatest lover. Love is his nature. It's who he is. It's one of his identifying attributes. God cannot be anything other than loving. John, who was called the beloved disciple due to his close relationship with Jesus, says twice in 1 John, "God is love." And those three words make all the difference in the world and in our lives. There's a story of an elderly retired preacher who was invited back to the church he had pastored in order to be honored. And he slowly shuffled to the platform and he stabled himself by putting his hands on the pulpit. And he said, "When I was asked to speak today, I was asked to share what was the greatest lesson ever learned in my 50 years of ministry." He said, "I thought about it for a few days, and it boiled down to just one thing that made the most difference in my life and sustained me through all of my trials. The one thing that I could always rely on when tears and heartbreak and pain and fear and sorrow paralyzed me. The only thing that would comfort me was this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so." Hallelujah. Folks, we live in a world that is filled with difficulty and heartache and sorrow and pain and trials. But in the midst of it all, there is a sure and certain hope for our soul. And it is that God loves us. And he has loved us with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his love expressed in the cross, yes, means that he is for us and not against us. And if God is for us, Paul says, who then can be against us? Hallelujah. His love means that he is with us in the midst of the fire, and he is with us in the midst of the flood, and he will bring us out. Hallelujah. This is the promise of his word. It is God's love that makes all of the difference in the world and in our world, in our life. He is the greatest lover, And he loves us with the greatest love, with the greatest love. You see, God's love is the greatest love because he loves us sacrificially. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave. Love is a verb. God's love moves him to action. Paul said, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst point, God still loved us and he died for us. The preacher, Dr. James Voice, said that the sacrifice of Jesus demonstrates the value that God places on us. He gave the most valuable and cherished thing in his possession for us. He sent his one and only son into this world to show us how much we mean to him. Wow. That's incredible. He gave the most valuable and cherished thing in his possession to show us how much we mean to him. Paul said it this way. He said, if God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he withhold anything from us that is for our good? He spared not his own son. God loved us so much that he did not withhold from us. He did not hold back from us anything. He was willing to pay the ultimate price for us. And since Jesus was God in human flesh, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, then it was God himself who hung upon that cross for us. John 15:13, Jesus said, there is no greater love than this, to lay one's life down for his friends. Do you know anybody who would lay their life down for you? You see, our natural inclination is self-preservation, protect ourselves at all costs. But God's love is the greatest love, and his nature is to give himself at any cost for us. There is no human love that compares to his love. There is no one who has ever or will ever love us the way that he does. No spouse, no parent, no child, no friend. No one will ever love you the way that God loves you. Oh, that's right. Hallelujah. God's love is the greatest love because God loves us inclusively. God so loved the world. God loves everyone. God loves all people. He loves the world. He said, whosoever. He loves those who are perishing. He loves the Satanist. He loves the Muslim. He loves the ISIS terrorist. He loves the drug addict. He loves the alcoholic. He loves the adulterer, the homosexual, the prostitute, the moral person, the immoral person, the religious person, the non-religious person. We are all sinners. We were all perishing, but he loves us, each and every one of us, no matter what our past was, no matter what we may do wrong in the present. He loves us. Let me tell you something, folks. Many people may go to hell unsaved, but no one will go to hell unloved.
That's right.
Because God will love us even till the day we walk through the portals of hell. No one will go to hell unloved. God's love is the greatest love because God loves us personally. We might think that since the profound message of John 3:16 is for the whole world, that Jesus would have preached it before a huge multitude. But this message was spoken personally and privately to one man named Nicodemus. Folks, God loves us and he cares for each one of us personally and individually.
Yeah.
He loves us personally and individually. The great church leader, Augustine, once said, God loves every one of us as if there were only one of us. That is awesome. God loves every one of us as if there were only one of us. In closing, I want to share a story I read that I believe really demonstrates the greatness of God's love for us. Mr. Klein was a miserable old man who had lived every way except for good. And he knew it. He wasn't worthy of anyone's friendship, so he reached out to no one. He didn't go to church because the back pew was too close for him. He wasn't proud of his sin, but he was painfully aware of it. But one Sunday evening, this miserable old man was walking by a church, and he heard the people singing and rejoicing, and he felt that old familiar pang of loneliness. So for just a moment, he paused, and he listened to the words that they were singing. The words of the song that he heard were, "Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for old man Klein, and Jesus died for me." He was astounded. Jesus died for old man Klein? How could there be a hymn that identified him specifically by name? And why would all those people be singing it? So he slipped into the church and he sat on the back pew. He had a lump in his throat, knowing for the first time that God loved him and that the good news of the gospel was for him. And as they sang, he picked up a hymnal and he found the song that they were singing. And what he had really heard was, "Jesus died for all mankind, and he died for me." Or was it really all mankind? It didn't matter, because all mankind now knew what his heart had heard. And after all mankind did include him. So great is God's love that he calls the church to be singing that song at that moment when old man Klein was passing by, and he caused old man Klein to hear his name in that song. Folks, I want you to know that God loves you more than you can ever imagine. God loves you personally. God loves you more than you will ever know. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Can you give praise unto him for his great love? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your love, Lord God. Your love is incomparable, oh God. Your love is immeasurable, oh God. Your love is unfailing. Your love is unconditional. Your love is so great, oh God. We have never experienced anything like your love. And we are so grateful to you, Lord God. Father, I pray this morning that your love would be made real in a fresh and living way in every heart in this place today, Lord God. Father, just pour forth your love in the hearts of every person that is here by the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Father, that we would be assured once again of your great love for us, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough for loving us the way that you have loved us, oh God. Hallelujah to your name. In Jesus' name.